The Eternal Ones by Nemeena Fauna. In the concluding chapter of Nemeena Fauna's trilogy, The Eternal Ones, the narrative follows Dekka of Erfurt, now known as the Angoro, the Slayer of the Gods, as she embarks on a desperate quest to save the Empire of Oterra and the entire world of Kamabai from the corruption of warring deities. The story begins 3 months after Dekka's confrontation with the Gilded Ones, during which she discovered that she is not their daughter but a divine intermediary sent by the Singulato end their madness. Dekka is currently hiding on the hauntingly beautiful island of Gar Nassim, a place where silver trees puff noxious odors and iridescent lizards dart through purple grasses. Her body is in a state of horrific deterioration, gold-crusted sores erupt across her skin like lightning bolts every time she moves or uses her abilities. As her former mentor White Hansh is warned, Dekka is rapidly losing her connection to her Kelaith substance of divinity, and if she does not retrieve it soon, her mortal form will scatter into a thousand pieces. Part 1, The Shadow Veils and the Call of the Divine. While Dekka searches for her mother, Umu, whom she believes is hiding on Gar Nassim, she frequently retreats into the mind of her blue-scaled companion, Ixa. Inside Ixa's feline-like form, Dekka is free from the agonizing pain of her wounds, though her friend Britta remains wary of this possession. The urgency of their mission is underscored by the arrival of a sinister mist that begins to herd Dekka's friends like cattle. While the others feel only an unnatural heat, Dekka alone can see the mist, marking it as a divine attack. White Hands, projecting herself from across the kingdom using her armored gauntlets, identifies the phenomenon as a shimmering mist that beguiles victims before snatching them away. The group is soon ambushed by Veil Wraiths, monstrous lizard-like creatures with pulsing blue hearts and rows of jagged teeth. These creatures serve as proxies for the Adugu, the male gods, who have created Shadow Valesa's hidden worlds dedicated to harvesting the life force of humans through sacrifice. During the battle, Dekka discovers that the gods' power is siphoned from the deaths of their followers, a grim reality that fuels their desperate creation of more veils across the provinces. As the group is cornered by the Idigu's voices echoing through the Wraith's moors, they are rescued by a mysterious, armored girl named Maita. Maita easily defeats the Wraiths and uses the power of a god named Ontimonto to temporarily heal Dekka's wounds. Maita reveals herself to be a godsworn immortal bonded in partnership to a deity serving Bala, the god of the pathways. She explains that Mother is waiting for Dekka in Maiwuri, a land the Oterans call the Unknown Lands. To reach it, Dekka and her friends must travel through the pathways, a dark, foggy realm made of strands of Bala's hair that sparkle with rainbow lights. Part 2, Revelations in Maiwuri and the Truth of Kamabai. The journey through the pathways brings a series of world-shattering revelations. Dekka learns from Maita that her companion Lamin has been a Maiwurian godsworn of Sala, the god of wisdom, the entire time, sent to Oterra as a spy to ensure Dekka discovered the treachery of the Oterran gods. Though Dekka feels deeply betrayed by his manipulation, she eventually follows him into the bright white light of Maiwuri. Maiwuri is a paradise of crystalline azure skies and jewel-colored buildings that seem lit from within. Its capital, Labba, is a floating city wreathed in clouds and waterfalls, divided into districts dedicated to gardens, lore, and wisdom. Here, Dekka finally meets the Maiwurian pantheon, a group of 80 gods who believe their role is to serve the natural order rather than rule above it. They reveal that the world, Kamabai, consists of 12 continents, 4 in Oterra and 8 in Maiwuri, all protected from the Oterran gods' corruption by a great barrier. In the Hall of the Gods, Dekka is reunited with her mother, Umu. However, the joy is short-lived as Dekka discovers that Umu has no physical body, she is a wraith bound to the temple's hearth. Umu explains that she faked her death in Erfurt to protect Dekka but was captured by the Idigu's priests at the gates of Hemera. Maita rescued her spirit, but her physical body remains in Oterra, serving as a biological tether to Dekka's stolen Kelai. The Maiwurian gods beseech Dekka to fulfill her purpose as the Angoro and end the Oterran pantheons to save the world from an imminent collapse caused by their corruption. Sala informs Dekka of the final, heavy price of her mission: to reclaim her divinity and be reborn as a god, she must choose a mortal death of her own accord. Without coercion or fear, this sacrifice means Dekka will lose her mortal body and her friends forever, becoming the very thing she despises, a deity. Part 3, The Training and the Greater Divinity. Before returning to Oterra, Maita takes Dekka into a crystalline forest within the pathways to train her in the use of the Greater Divinity. Maita explains that the Greater Divinity is not a god but the divine and natural order of the cosmos that all beings serve. Dekka learns that gods are actually the dreams of the sentient, brought into existence by the longings and desires of mortals. Decca struggles to harness this power, initially injuring herself when she attempts to manipulate space and matter. Mita harshly teaches her that space is a where, and matter is a what, and that by pushing energy into the stillness between air currents, she can create her own pathways or doors. Decca eventually masters this ability, learning to draw power from the greater divinity to fill the emptiness in her body without pain. During this time, she also understands that Ixo is her primary godsworn. A living temple that allows her to slip into his mind, Part 4, The Siege of Erfurt and the Deal of the God of Deception. Armed with her new skills, Decca opens a door back to the village of her birth, Erfurt, to search for items that carry her mother's scent. They find the village a scorched ruin, its ground covered in veil sand, that indicates the shadow veils are bleeding into the physical realm. Inside the village temple, they find Elder Dirkus continuing to preach the hateful infinite wisdoms, commanding young girls to sacrifice themselves to the veil to purify, O Terra. Decca, fueled by rage, intervenes and defeats the priest, tossing him into the lake where he once drowned her. In the wreckage of her childhood cottage, Decca is confronted by Akot, the Adugu god who is the counterpart to Anok. Akot reveals that he has erased all traces of Umu's memories from the house to prevent Decca from finding her body. He offers Decca a treacherous deal. He will lead her to her Kelai and bring her mother back to life if Decca promises amnesty for him and Anok when she ascends to power. He attempts to tempt her with a vision of a peaceful, domestic life with her mother, but Decca realizes the illusion is a trap and refuses to bargain with a demon masquerading as divinity. Akot leaves Decca and her friends trapped in a shadow veil with a colossal wraith. Using her divine command and the power of the greater divinity, Decca awakens her friends from a magical slumber and forces open a massive door to sunlight, which incinerates the wraith's tentacles. They escape the veil and regroup at a monument in the southern provinces where White Hands has gathered an army of Deathshrieks, Aliki, and Jatu. Part 5, The Shadows of Garfatu and the Preservation of Love. White Hands successfully negotiates an alliance with the Avayaks, a race of bird folk who can render themselves invisible by showing their monarchs the horrifying reality of the shadow veils. Decca realizes that her Kelai must be hidden in a place so dangerous that the Gilded Ones would notice any unusual movement, leading her to suspect it is at Garfatu, the former summer home of Kaita's family. At Garfatu, the group finds an estate that is perfectly preserved, looking exactly as it did the night Kaita's family was massacred by Deathshrieks. Decca feels a deep thrumming of power and understands that the estate has been cloaked in an invisible bubble of her own Kelai. She discovers that the corpses of Kaita's parents and brothers look peaceful rather than terrified. Her divinity, responding to her love for Kaita, rolled back the decay to allow him to say a proper goodbye. However, the Kelai itself has been moved by the Adugu just hours before their arrival. While Kaita burns the mansion to the ground in a funeral pyre, Decca is visited by the goddess Anok, who is hiding inside an Indolo. Anok warns Decca that her sisters have imprisoned her and plan to consume her sustenance. She urges Decca to find her Kelain Hemera and fulfill her vow to end the Pantheons. Part 6, The Final Battle for the Soul of Oterra. The armies of the Angoro mass outside the walls of Hemera for a final offensive. White Hands demonstrates her unlocked gift by turning the city's ancient stone walls to dust and ash. Decca, however, is the only one who can see the five gigantic figures of the gods standing over the city, their massive bodies encompassing the streets as they prepare to gorge on the clashing armies. Decca and her closest companions sneak into the imperial palace, Oyomo's Eye, which is now a desolate graveyard of sacrificed animals and people. They are aided by Akot, who has had a change of heart after a visitation from Anok. Akot holds back his brothers, allowing Decca to enter the altar chamber to reclaim her Kelai while he chooses to return to the Great Circle with Anok. Inside the chamber, Decca finds Etsli, inhabiting her mother's physical body. Etsli uses mother's appearance to attempt a final deception, but Decca identifies the imposter when the goddess calls her pet, a name her real mother would never use. A brutal battle ensues in which Etsli uses golden vines her transformed hair to kill or incapacitate many of Decca's friends, including Ashand Kweku. In her final moments as a mortal, Decca realizes that the gods cannot take her power unless she gives it. She allows Ao, the Ibiki Queen, to distract Etsli while she calls upon the greater divinity. As her armor shatters and her body begins to fail, Decca chooses death, her spirit rising toward the light as she finally utters her true name. Part 7, The Ascension and the Remaking of the World. Decca ascends to full divinity, becoming the singular, and witnessing the formation of galaxies and the birth of gods. She sees that all things, person, planet, and deity, are inextricably linked as one organism. Dekka rejects Etsli's pleas for alliance, choosing instead to serve the natural order and protect the divine within all beings. She fulfills her vow to Enoch and Akot, allowing them to meld together into a blissful melody that echoes through the universe before they vanish. She then sings the song of dispersal. For the remaining Oteran gods Etsli, Bekala, and the others, cleansing them of corruption and returning their essence to the stars to be reborn. Dekka repairs the shadow veils and spirits the surviving humans back to their homes, while sending the veil wraiths to a world where they can thrive without preying on others. In the Hall of the Gods, Dekka returns her mother's physical body and escorts Umu's spirit into the blissful lands, where she is reunited with a version of her family in her fondest memories. Dekka then returns to the palace grounds in a form of darkness and sunlight intertwined, to offer her friends a choice. Britta and Lit choose to remain mortal, wanting a wedding and a family, while Akalan decides to travel to Maiwari. White Hands and Kaita choose to join Dekka, with Kaita smilingly declaring, "You and I, always and forever," epilogue, a new dawn for Oterra. Years later, Oterra has been transformed into a land of unity and equality, free from the tyranny of the infinite wisdoms. The barrier between Oterra and Maiwari has been destroyed, and the three divinities, Dekka, Kaita, and White Hands, watch over the realm. Belkalis has ascended to become the Empress of the One Kingdom, with the Kaelin and the commanders as her advisors. The story concludes at the wedding of Britta and Lee, where they are joined by their friends and the next generation of Oterans, including a young girl named Asha, who dreams of becoming a warrior at the new Warthu Bearer. Dekka reflects that fate is not just a plan from the heavens, but a thread that individuals pull for themselves. As she walks into eternity with Kaita, Dekka celebrates a world where everyone can finally be who they are inside. This summary is for educational purposes only. This audio is exclusively created for AfriSummary.com. Thank you.